number 16. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And just for you new guys to kind of get a feel what's going on, but we're looking at this study of 1 Corinthians as though we're looking at letters to the Californians, like Paul is writing to all of us, because there are so many, similarities as far as issues that can take place within churches and so forth. And I'm so glad, you think about sometimes the early church, you think, oh, we could just go back to the early church, you know. But the early church, they had a lot of problems, especially when you read Paul's letter here to the Corinthians. I mean, there are pride issues, division issues, you know, things were really, you know, a lot of disruption within the church. So now we're in chapter 12, and we're going to be dealing with this whole area of spiritual gifts. And you kind of think, okay, what's this all about? Well, what had happened is that, you know, because there was this kind of dissension and division, a lot of it had to do with pride, spiritual pride. And there were people who had certain gifts, abilities that they had, which others didn't have. And what happens then is that, you know, they start thinking more highly of themselves than they ought to think. Simple as that. And that created even more problems. So Paul, it's interesting how Paul approaches this. And a lot of it had to do with speaking in tongues. We'll deal more with that as time goes on. How Paul approaches this whole problem, he really addresses the problem in chapter 14. And now he's building up to addressing the problem by stating in chapter 12, he starts right up, he says, "Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." Now, what's interesting is that in most of our translations, we use the term spiritual gifts. But in actual Greek, the term gifts is really, we have supplied that, because that becomes the context of 1 Corinthians 12. The word really here is, now I want you not to be ignorant about spirituality. Now that's how he starts it off. It's about spirituality. Because right away, when you think about people having certain gifts, say like speaking in tongues, so the attitude was, I'm more spiritual than you, because I have a heavenly language, and I'm sorry you don't, but you know, that makes me a little more spiritual. So he wants them to say, okay, he's working into the problem. I want you to be aware of spirituality. And then he begins to move into it. So I'm going to read through verse 11 again, as I've done in the past, but just to kind of get the flavor again. Okay, here we go. Now, about spirituality, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. And again, I'm going to come back to that, because that hit me here just some time ago. I never read it like this. I always thought they were led astray by mute idols. No, it says you were led to mute idols. There's a key here. And notice what he saw. He said, "Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit." Now, there's different kinds of gifts. See, so now he begins to talk specifically about gifts, the charisma. But the same Spirit, there are those different kinds of service, the same Lord. There's different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for common good. To one, there's given to the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy and distinguishing between spirits. And then he says, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, all these, the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So you notice now that Paul is building a proper theology. There has to be an understanding, doctrinal understanding of things. Now, as we work through it, now we'll get to the problem itself with a solid foundation. Again, this is why it's so important. You need to understand something. Your belief system determines your behavior system. A lot of time we will start with behavior and feelings and all this kind of stuff. And what we're learning here is that, no, you have to understand something. There is truth involved. There is something we need to understand from a biblical, godly, spiritual perspective from the Word of God. And Paul says, we've got to lay that foundation first. Then we'll talk about the behavioral aspects of it, okay? So we didn't get very far here a couple weeks ago. The first question was, as I said to you, what does Paul say in verse 1? We explained that already. That he's talking about spiritualities. And the next question underneath that, what gift did Jesus promise his disciples? What gift did Jesus promise his disciples? The Holy Spirit. Okay? So when Jesus ascended, he promised the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit then was poured out at the time of Pentecost. Now we understand the Holy Spirit from that gift. Now Jesus gives many gifts to us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. So how does that gift further bless the church? And that's what that next question is that you understand that the Holy Spirit then gives a variety of spiritual gifts to enable us to do work of ministry. Okay? And a passage I really, what you look at here, look at Ephesians. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, 7, and 8. I'll read a little further with that, but just look what it says here. Ephesians 4, he says this, 7 and 8. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Okay? He's given us grace. This is why it says, when he ascended on heaven, on high, he led captives in his train. And what I really believe, my understanding of that, is that when he ascends into heaven, remember, before Christ died on the cross and rose again, people died, they didn't go to heaven. Okay, this is the Old Testament now. They didn't heaven. They went to the place called Sheol, the place of the dead. And again, this is the understanding of the Old Testament. Remember how many times David would say, you won't leave my body in Sheol. He's concerned about that. Lord, don't abandon me. So when Jesus ascends into heaven, remember he said earlier in John chapter 14, 1-3, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. I prepare a place. By his shed blood makes it possible. Sin is forgiven. His ascension makes it possible now for sinful people to come into the presence of a holy God. And what I understand this to mean is that when he ascended into heaven, he took captivity captive. It was like a train saying, yay, here's the victory, okay? But then it says, look what he says, and he gave gifts to men. The giving of the Holy Spirit, he now gives us spiritual gifts, abilities. So then, look at verse 11. It was he who gave some, now he's talking about some of these gifts that he gives to men. He gave some to apostles, some to prophets, some to be evangelists, pastors, teachers, okay? These are gifts. Now, gifts in these persons, but they had these abilities. And what is the job of the pastor, teacher, evangelist, apostles? What's their job?
Show up on Saturday morning.
That boy has learned his lesson well. I appreciate that. Straighten him out at the table over there, okay? Leave him in your hands, okay, Mike?
Build up the body of Christ.
Build up the body of Christ. For what purpose?
Glorify God.
Glorify God, but what purpose? He says something more.
Ministers.
Equip us to do work of ministry. Okay? That's, and I've shared this with you before. This is sort of a a growing experience for me. You know, as I first started in the church, I kind of thought that the whole church kind of had to revolve around Steve Strickland. You know, I'm the hired gun. So they hire me to do the work of ministry, and the church leaders, they go around, they cheer you on, they pay your, you know, the salary. If you don't like it, they don't pay your salary, you know. I mean, but you're the guy out there. You've got to do the work of ministry for these people. They don't know any better, okay? Well, as time goes on, God is saying, no, read your Bible. Go ahead, Fred.
I thought about that all week, because you ended the last Saturday with the statement, you're old ministers.
Right.
And I used to think, you know, I go to Bible study every Saturday, and I get refreshed, I get recharged, make me feel good, and realize, hey, there's something more than that.
Thank you. That's what I used to do when I sat at
the church and just to listen.
Right.
But you, we're commissioned to be equipped.
You got it.
To be ministers.
Yeah.
And so we're all ministers.
Right.
I can't see myself as Mr. Fred, but...
Well, that's okay. We'll call you Minister Fred. I mean, we'll call you Brother Fred. Well, Minister Fred, that's a good idea. But you understand now, that's why it's important for you to understand the whole aspect of spiritual gifts. We're going to move into that. But that each one of us has an ability. God has given us something whereby we contribute to Christ's work and ministry. Abilities, see? And you think about, you know, this, you got a hand over here, you got a foot over there. Well, they're different, but they're part of the same body. So in order for this hand to do its work over there, it takes the feet and everything else in order for this body to get over there to do its particular work. Well, that's what we're going to discover. That's why every person is important when you realize how it works together. Andy.
You know, I love this passage. This is one of my favorite ones because it really illustrates the role of teamwork.
And, you got it.
And this leadership that you know, people mention that your role as a minister leader
right.
is to glorify God, to pursue the mission, to
right.
you know, to serve Him. But you know, really, what you're also doing is recognizing what our spiritual gifts are,
yes.
and you then find the value in
yes.
each one of us, and then yes. motivate us to go do the work.
You got it.
And so this applies to
right.
anything in life, in business, in our state government, in our federal
yes.
government. It's all about the leadership.
It is.
Right?
It really is.
I love this.
Yes, it really is. It's about leadership. But keep in mind now, part of this, the whole body concept is we're always under the head of Jesus Christ. So as leaders, we've got to constantly remind people of the big picture. There's a universal picture here in terms of why are we here? What's our purpose? What's God's plan? Life is more than just, you know, making a buck and trying to get ahead and, you know, having a little pleasure. I mean, wait a minute. There's a bigger picture here. God has come into the world through Jesus Christ, and His main game plan, again, if you don't know what it is, let me remind you. Here's the game plan. Here's the big picture. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. Here's the big picture. He's come into the world not only to redeem us, to give us salvation. Here's the big picture. And He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment. Okay? This is His big plan. Christ comes into the world, dies on the cross, rises again from the dead. There's a bigger picture here. What is it now? Then the fullness of time to do what? To bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head,
yes.
even Christ. So there's something bigger here, see? This coming together under the rulership of Jesus Christ. So you understand now, whenever you have seen that term, the kingdom of God, throughout the Gospels, well, what is it? He's talking about kingdom of God. Well, that's what this is. That God's rule will come on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
So that rule is two things. It is realm. In other words, it's physical earth. It's the whole earth. But it's also relationship. That rule comes in your heart. There is a ruling that comes. Where does it start? The kingdom of God, his rule, starts in a heart. Amen. When you receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And in other words, you haven't just, and this is where it fits right in with what we're going to be talking about here. It fits right in. That rulership, you're learning to say Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? He's the boss. Your Christianity isn't just, well, now I got my pie in the sky when I die by and by. I took care of that. Now let's get back to business.
How does that go?
See me at Marie Callender's. We'll talk some more about that, okay?
You like the pie in the sky?
You like the pie in the sky by and by, huh? But you get where I'm going. See, a lot of times that's all we think. Well, I'm a Christian now. I'm saved. Wonderful. You know, now I'm just back to business. And Lord, you know, I'm sure glad you're on my side now. And I got stuff I've got to do, and you know, I'm pretty busy now. I hope you can keep up with me. But straighten out a few things. In other words, we're giving him the boss. We're giving him orders as though we're the boss. That's not what Christianity is about. You now have come under his lordship, his kingdom. He's king. He is ruler. He's boss. And you say, sir, how high do you want me to jump? Jeff, you've been just patiently waiting here. Go ahead.
One of the greatest prayers in Scripture is that he might increase and that I might decrease by John the Baptist.
John the Baptist.
And when I read this Scripture, I see that God is the administrator.
Very good.
He
Very
is
good.
The distributor of his gifts.
Right.
And I don't get to choose what my gifts are.
That's right.
Because he gave me those
exactly
gifts.
Right.
I just have to discover what they are.
Yes, you got it.
And then be used by God in those gifts.
Isn't that marvelous? Joel, good to have you back, guy. Great.
Good to have you back.
Well, thank you.
I think this goes back to what it says in verse 3 there, that can't say Jesus is Lord except by the
Very
Spirit,
good.
Meaning
yes.
Jesus is Lord was the statement of faith.
That's right.
For the
Amen.
Church.
That's right.
And to understand that in the context of that time,
yes,
that was a political statement. In that they were rejecting
Caesar.
The political landscape that they had. Because that phrase was most commonly heard, Caesar is Lord.
Got it.
To say Caesar was Lord is to swear your oath of fealty to the Roman imperial cult.
Right.
And every empire has a religious belief system that upholds it so that the people will give it power to reign.
Right. Mm.
And so when they said Caesar is Lord, they are swearing their allegiance to Caesar, who was considered this godlike figure, and they had put him on such a high level that they considered him as a god.
That's right.
And so when the Christian said, Jesus is Lord, the implied statement is, parentheses, and Caesar is not.
That's right. Exactly right. Mm. Exactly right.
So the question here when we're talking about spiritual gifts is, God gave you those gifts. But which kingdom, empire are you trying to build as you use them?
Excellent.
Are you building,
excellent,
or is God building through you his kingdom and his church?
Very
or are you building your own little fiefdom?
Very good.
Are we building our own little empire, whether it's our church organization,
beautiful,
whether it is our ministry, whether
Very
it is
good.
Our status among other people?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Is that what we're using it when we get up to prophesy or whatever? Or is that the overflow of God's desire to bless his people and build his kingdom?
Oh, you got it.
Preach it.
That's awesome.
Preach it
right. Isn't that neat? That is so awesome. And sometimes, yes, Daryl.
Following up with Joel, when Jesus told the apostles, doing greater things than I, by receiving these spiritual gifts, it's not just one person, it's all of us.
That's right, exactly right. It's not just confined to one body, it is the multiplicity and dependency here. Go ahead, Dick.
Well, no matter how you handle this, what happens is the original sin always gets back in the act, and my gift is greater than your gift. Oh, that's why we want this guy here or that
exactly
guy here.
Right.
And when you get into that competition,
yep.
he's constantly reminding us too.
Yes.
It's the giver of the gift that we
you got
worship
it.
And adore.
Exactly.
It's not gifted.
Very good.
Amen.
And so
yeah.
gifted people don't
that's
necessarily
right.
walk around with a sign on their back. I
right.
gifted.
Right. That's so awesome. You know, and so interesting as you look at this passage, because it says, now look at that second verse. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. I want to deal with that, and then kind of bring it back into the context here. What do you understand him to be saying there? That you were led astray to mute idols. What is he... driving at here, you know? Anybody? Please, Fred.
I think mute idols could have been any kind of philosophy, in my opinion.
Okay.
Theory.
All right.
Which
yes.
was in opposition
okay.
to the truth.
Okay. Now, notice that he's saying here that you know that when you were pagans, apart from Christ, somehow or other, you were influenced and then led astray to mute idols. And I would agree with that. Remember, we will look for religious systems or crutches that play into making us feel good. We will look for those kinds of, you know, religions or ideas or philosophies that make us feel good about who we are, where we are, and so forth.
Material things.
And okay, so if it's material things, then that becomes our God. It will lead us to, you know, wealth is, what you know, pursuit of happiness. After all, God wants me happy.
Status.
So if God, I'm making up my own philosophy. God wants me happy, therefore I'm going to shape the God that makes me feel happy. He's not going to condemn me for, you know, not doing what he wants, and I mean, he's always going to be on my side, right? That's the kind of God we want.
And I think a key word there is that leads us to mute idols.
Yeah, and mute. Okay, very good.
It does not talk to us. It
exactly right.
It doesn't do anything for us.
They have nothing. In other words, the God that we have, the Word, came flesh. We have a God who has revealed himself. And throughout Scripture, in the Old Testament especially, you're going to see the prophets laying out this description of idols. Man, they got nothing to say anyway. They just carved out of wood. You make them say. Jeff?
Well, we give the idols a voice.
We give them a voice. Excellent.
And I'm reading Proverbs 7:21.
Very good.
With persuasive words, she led him astray.
Yes.
And seduced him with
right.
her smooth talk.
Very good. And the idol, that's the idol of sex, brother. Watch it. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I think that we were led away or influenced. You know, there was the kingdom of the air, which is the, you know, the enemy of God.
Right.
Who was, when we were pagans, we were led astray so easily to anything but God.
Right.
Satan would never lead you to
right.
God.
That's right.
He's
going to
divert
right.
you and keep you away and definitely put you in a system
right.
that's not living and active.
Exactly.
You know, God is a living and active. His Word is living and active. Spirit of God is living and active.
Yes.
So he's going to always divert you to where you can just join and you just
right.
fit in.
Makes you feel good. Gary.
New American Standard says dumb idols.
Dumb. Yes. A different connotation there today, but dumb means not able to speak, you know that, but they're still pretty dumb. Joel.
Something worth remembering, I mean, we want to, it's definitely true that they were worshiping materialism, they were worshiping the work of their own
right,
hands.
Right, right, right.
Because human craftsmen made those
right.
idols. So anytime we're at the work of our own hands, we're worshiping
okay.
ourselves.
Okay.
Even
and we can make that into gods real quick,
absolutely.
Can't we?
I mean, if it's
right.
whether it's our career or you know,
right.
our ministry or whatever,
exactly.
I mean, the work of our hands rather than you know something
right.
that God's done. But also, pagan worship at that time was not just so simplistic that they were worshiping the carved statue.
Right.
They were worshiping the power.
What stood for.
That they thought
yes.
that statue stood for.
Yes.
And you know, there was a popularized pagan religion, and then there were the true believers of pagan religion, with that when they went to the Temple of Mars, they were worshiping the god of war and military, you know, fighting and the brotherhood that went with it and the carnage.
Right.
And then when they went to the Temple of Aphrodite, they were worshiping not the statue, but the power of erotic love.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Or when they went to the Temple of Athena, they were worshiping the power of wisdom. That they would see this, they thought they would see the power involved in their life. Or they would have a situation in life and they wanted that power.
Yes.
So those are the dumb idols.
It's visualized.
Yeah, it's a representation of the power that they were worshiping, that they wanted to honor or recognize. So the parallel here, when talking about spiritual gifts, is are we worshiping the power that we see in the
gifts?
Or are we worshiping and serving the God who wants
giver.
To speak through those
gifts? Oh, excellent. Mm. That's exactly right. Mm. Yes?
Years ago, I was at this little church, a Pentecostal church called Easy Saves, and these ladies were running inside the church and screaming and yelling. And I didn't see what that had to do with spiritual gifts.
Well, you find out, let me know. If you're asking me, man, I don't know. I haven't got a clue. Please.
We're in this world right now. What can we do as believers to figure out better our gifts and really utilize them? It's easy to read this right now.
Right.
What are we doing about it?
Yeah, that's a good point. And we'll continue in that light. Could have joined my class on Wednesday mornings. I mean, I'm teaching it right now, but that's okay. That's okay. But it is. It is. And we'll talk more about that. We really will.
I'll say one more thing. It's not really in terms of what Joel was saying, but more in terms of God and yourself. God actually, you know, the Word became flesh, right? And so we have a God that actually speaks, you know.
Right.
We have a God. I come a little bit from a charismatic background now, but I actually went to a Presbyterian Korean church for a while, a unique story. And I went involved with Vineyard Church movement now. And,
very good.
So there's a lot of ways that I believe God speaks, and you have to kind of, you know, it's still small voices by His Word. He's speaking to us. He's alive and active. His Word becomes alive and strikes right into our hearts at certain moments in our lives for a reason. You know, and it shapes our journeys, right? It shapes who we are. It shapes where we're off.
That's right.
And that's the contrast of a mute idol that doesn't speak to you. It says
right.
It does everything you want it to do.
Right.
Where God says, you know, this is not the best thing for you. This is,
that's right.
You know,
but that's the joy again of knowing that when we understand the God whom we serve, the key understanding is a God who has revealed Himself. And to me, that was the, you know, the thing that really shaped my whole foundation of faith, because I was a philosophy major in college and the whole thing. So I'm studying all about religions, and I'm studying, you know, what they believe and all this kind of stuff. And suddenly, the word in the Bible where it said, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, it really struck me, because I thought, wait a minute, for him to believe God, God has to do something first. So the difference is, I could say I believe in a God, or I could say I can believe in God, or do I believe God? And the last phrase really comes back to us to say, if there really is a God, then He has to have made Himself known. See, that's the key to it, is there He made Himself known. Now, how did He do that? Well, then you get the whole story of the Old Testament, and a very peculiar people He calls. Throughout their whole history, He makes Himself known. And then the Word becomes flesh. How do we know what God's like? We look at the Word, Jesus. Go ahead.
I'd like to show one thing. For the men that was at the men's retreat, it was a Sunday, and we were finished our last session, and we were going to take a group picture. So we go out on this in the field. It's like an athletic field, and it's a little slope. So Craig Keller was the man that was going to take his picture. It was just the iPhone. You know, meanwhile, there's 70 guys lining up trying to get this picture. So one of the guys, I don't know who it was, says, Craig, we need to get somebody for you to take, or for you to be in the picture. So Meanwhile, we're in Ramona. It's open land. It's just hillsides. Not much things going on. Out of the blue, from the corner, this guy on a mountain bike comes barreling up. I'm like, hey, come over here. How did that happen? Because there was nobody coming from on a bike. All of a sudden, like that. You know, somebody yelled out, Craig, we need somebody to take.
Hey, you come here.
And this mountain biker just comes up. And he just was there to take a picture. So we're all saying, that's a godsend.
That was a good thing, huh? Yeah, that was a good thing. I love it.
Nobody comes from that area.
That's great.
Somebody makes something.
That's great. I was waiting for the helicopter story, but I guess that one didn't work. Dale.
But in verse 3, it says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except he knows the Holy Spirit.
Exactly right. And that is so important, as you see the context of this whole his whole section here, because he's saying, you know, therefore, you know, anyone who is speaking by the Spirit of God. So now you're getting back to the gifted idea again, especially the speaking thing, tongues or whatever it is. So obviously there were some strange things going on within the church that we're not totally aware of. And some of the strange things, obviously some of these guys were speaking in tongues. They were saying all kinds of radical things about Jesus and the whole thing. And people didn't, they thought, well, that was the spiritual type of stuff. But he's saying, look, if you want to understand spirituality, what really is spiritual, and then you're looking at people using their gifts and so forth, it's not the gifts that they use, and it's not so much the blabbing or whatever they're saying. How do they regard Jesus? How do they regard Jesus? See? And that applies today too, when you think about cults. How do they regard Jesus? Who, not only who he is, but, you know, it says here, and that you cannot say that Jesus is Lord, getting back to the Lordship. And you know, you're going to stand and say Jesus is Lord, you're denouncing Rome and Caesar and the whole thing. You realize you're making quite a statement, and there's something within you that is really resonating. This Jesus is Lord. He is King and ruler over all. But again, it is just mouthing words. Remember what Jesus said here. Remember in Matthew? Look at this. Matthew 7, 21 and 22. Don't ever forget this either. It isn't just saying Jesus is Lord. What else has to be there? Look at this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven or come under the rule of God, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Now notice the connection here. What prophecy is a gift, right? Did we not prophesy in your name? And drive out demons? You know, we cast out demons. These are gifts, right? He's saying, look, I want you to understand something. And Paul is saying, to say Jesus Lord, in other words, you understand who he is. That's through the Holy Spirit. But not just mouthing something, you're also obeying him.
Living it.
Say it again?
Living
it. Living it, exactly. You're living it. So it isn't just a matter of giftedness or saying the right words. You have to understand that, hey, if the Holy Spirit is working in your life, it isn't just the gifts. We're going to get to this again in chapter 13. It's also the fruit. See? He's going to pick up on later on, you know, in chapter 13. He says, yea, you know, though I speak in the tongues of men and of angels. Man, that's pretty, you know, fascinating. But if I have not love, he says, I don't care about it. Gifts are like a Christmas tree. You get all the pretty trimmings on the tree. Oh, it looks good. Love Christmas trees. Love to look at it. We love to see people with gifts. Trouble is, it has no real life in and of itself. But when you look at a fruit tree, you know what kind of tree it is. The fruit tells you something about the tree. And that's what it is to be a Christian. Mike.
Yeah, in Romans 8:9, says, you, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit.
Right.
If the Spirit of God lives in you, And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ,
right,
he does not belong to Christ. So when you proclaim that Jesus is Lord, it is because you've received the Spirit of Christ, and you are.
There's a new life within you. See, you cannot be a Christian without the work of the Holy Spirit. Andy,
I just want to come back to the gentleman over there who said, "How do you know spiritual gifts?"
Right.
Or how do you find them? Well, one thing to do is walk with Christian men who can then encourage you and discover those gifts and help you. But number two, what I've found in my life is that when you are bearing the right fruit, and you know, you get this feeling in your heart, you get all excited. So if you're getting up every day, and you feel like you have to go back to bed because you're, you know, you're not happy with your life, that's when you start thinking, am I pursuing the spiritual gifts, or actually utilizing the spiritual gifts that God has given me? And when I find that I am actually pursuing life and using those spiritual gifts, I have no problem getting up this morning. It's like going to Disneyland with your kids. You hop right out of bed, you get up, and you go. Right? Because you know the Spirit moving within you.
Right.
So if you're not moving, that means you know, you need to realign your life. But if you are excited about getting up and serving, know you're doing what God has called you to do.
Good for you. I love morning persons. I really do. I think there's a special blessing of the Spirit. Jeff?
Yeah, we live in a society where, to use the word, the idol, we idolize the Lone Ranger.
John Wayne.
Right.
Come on. Nobody's a Lone Ranger is anymore. You know that, don't you? Go ahead.
Rugged individualism.
Right.
And I think that it's almost a church. We, by the Spirit of God, say Jesus is Lord. It's a congregation saying amen to your gifts.
Right.
Yep. Not you just saying, I have this gift, I'm going to go and, for me in my case, gamble. I'm going to go to Pechanga and go to the poker park.
Is that a gift too, gambling? I didn't read about that one.
I could make it into a gift.
Oh, it's a gift of faith. That's right.
You've
got to watch this guy. You know? Keep an eye on him.
Gift of donation.
The donation. Gift of giving. Yes, go ahead, Joel.
You bring up a really good point about spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
Because as much as we want to say, you know, there's sin to be had on the individual who's not using his gifts or is using his or her gifts in a way that it really is not the very honoring to God, and it's elevating the self and the body of Christ.
Yeah.
But there's sin to be had in the community as well.
Oh, yes.
When there's not recognition of the validity of ministry that God has imparted to somebody to bless the
body. You guys are way ahead of me already. I mean, you know that, don't you? I'm trying to work your way into this, but you guys already have gone through the whole chapter already. But stay with me now, okay? Because
we did our homework.
Yeah, I know you did. Homework. Yeah, all right. I'm going to check you up.
That's what you asked us to do.
What I find so fascinating in this chapter is that as Paul kind of builds on this through verse 11, then pick it up on in verse 12, he will share with you the unity of the body is under one head. There's a oneness. And then he talks about the independence. In other words, we all have a gift. Wonderful. But then there's interdependency. See, God didn't give you gifts to play Lone Ranger or John Wayne, whichever one you do here. But God didn't give you gifts to play your own little routine over here. You are linked to the body. What good is this hand over here? It's not linked to the wrist and the rest of it. It's just some dead thing out there thinking it's. No, don't get me going here. Anyway, but you see what I'm saying here. When it links together, there's an interdependency. You know, it's all by the same blood. It's all by the same nerve systems. I mean, think about the analogies from tremendous. But the beautiful thing is that's how the gifts begin to coordinate. We'll talk more about that. Okay, I'm going to, you just move along here. We're going to pick up number two. Start with number two, okay? We're going to do verses 4-6 for next time. So take a good stab at verses 4-6 and see how you do with that. Okay. All right, let's close in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you so much. As we think about spirituality, Lord, we just realize that spirituality is centered and focusing on Jesus Christ, who he is, knowing who he is, not running him down, but building him up. and knowing that He is Lord. He's boss. He's a ruler of my life. And Lord, I just pray for each of us. Let each of us begin right there to be able to say, Jesus, You're the Lord of my... You're just not my Savior. Thank You for being my Savior. But Lord, I recognize You as the ruler. And wherever we are, whatever business we're in or relationships or whatever, Lord, You are in charge. And we want to yield and submit ourselves in obedience to that authority. Thank You, Father. Go with each of us. Help us to continue to walk closely with You and also with each other as we share in your life and also in Your ministry. We pray this in Jesus' name. All those people said,
Amen.
God bless you guys. Thank you.
Now I know why you sang all for King Jesus.
Like that, huh?
You're smart.